I don't know if we're, let's do we can a little bit. Okay, we have over here. I want to learn today about Birchas Shachar. There are 13 blessings in Birchas Shachar. There are only 13/14. It doesn't even count. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Right, there are 14, then there's really 15. There are 15. The last one is Amavir, Sheina, Meinoi, Ustma, Meyafapoi. So they're really 15. Now, one bracha, you should be aware, is not a real bracha. I mean, it's not a real bracha.
That bracha,
the last bracha is unique in a way. The last bracha is Amad V'Yoshenu Minu Yustum V'Miyavapai. It's definitely a unique bracha because it goes on. V'Hirotzen B'Lechonecha, we go on to a very elaborate V'Hirotzen. Okay, but the bracha of Hanoisin La Yoiv Koyach, The bracha of Hanosin LaYoiv Koach is not a bracha which was part of the original brachas. Now, in the Gemara Masechta Brachas, the Gemara there goes to all of the brachas, not all, but many of the brachas of Shachar, and it makes no mention of this bracha called Hanosin LaYoiv Koach. We were actually once discussed this. And this bracha was added later, at what point in time? Time of the Goyim. The Goyim at a much later point in time. That's about 1,000 years ago. The right. Last Goyim was Rav Haigon. He died in the year 1038, something like that. Okay, so the bracha of Hanosin LaYoiv Koach is a bracha that was added during the time of the Goyim. It's not part of the original brachos. All the other original brachos were put into the Nusach HaTfilah, were put there in the time of the Gemara, the Anshei Knesses HaGedoyla. We're going back, way, way back, in the time of the Tanoim. Even before that, that's when they were already set. But this bracha was added to the Nusach HaTfilah more than 1,000 years later. So how did this bracha get into the nusach of the blessings? So there's a very chashuv sefer from Rabbi Ashkenazi. I think that's where I saw it from. The Chabad. We always like to talk about his chidushim, and he says that the Gemara says explicitly that when a person wakes up in the morning, we actually mentioned, I don't know if we went through all the details, when a person wakes up in the morning, this is his theory, his yisoid. This is it's an incredible chiddush, and it makes a lot of sense. He says that when he says beferish the Gemara, that when the person woke up in the morning, what did they say? They said Elokai Neshama. There was no such thing as Moedani Lefnecha Melchai Elokim Shachzar to be Neshama Tchem Rav. Did not exist. Person wakes up in the morning, you say Elokai Neshama Shnasat Vi Tohari Atov Rasotah Yitzar Atotah Nefachti Vi Atov Bishavki Vi Atos Sadid Lameni Lachzuri Kolzman Shavki Vi Moede Ani Lefnecha. Okay, you say, so that's really where the Moida Ani comes from, because this was the original bracha that was said when a person wakes up in the morning. It does not begin with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, because the bracha has smucha lechaverta. The bracha of the Kain Hashem was connected, the bracha of Hamapil. And now the person said, "Hamapil chevel shena meinoy usno miyafapoy." In the end, of the bracha was Baruch Atah Hashem haneir leolam kuloi bichvoidoi. That was the gemar of the bracha at night. And haneir leolam kuloi bichvoidoi. That was the bracha. And I see my mind is racing. A lot of things are going on now. Hamavir, Amer Lo'olam Kula B'Chvaydai, that Baruch Atah Hashem is the beginning of this bracha of Elokai Neshama the next morning. And as we discussed, going to sleep at night is not considered to be a hefsek. So again, to review, it's Feresh Gemara. When a person wakes up in the morning, the first thing that he says is Elokai Neshama Shenasata Bi Tehoirehi. That is the first thing he says in the morning. What happened? The reason why we do not say Elokai Neshama is because our hands are not clean. We are no longer disciplined. So when we wake up in the morning, we cannot say Hashem's name because your hands have touched part of your body that you're not supposed to touch. And when you touch that part of the body, you are not clean, and if you are not clean, you're not allowed to say Hashem's name. Now that means it used to be back in the olden days, a person when he went to sleep was disciplined, and he can be absolutely certain that his hands did not touch any part of his body that is meant to be covered, so he can immediately say the words Elokai Nishama. As I mentioned at the Gra, the Vilna Goin, they say, I do not know if it's true, that when he would go to sleep, he would sleep with gloves. So that when he wakes up in the morning, he did not have to waste any time. Every single second might have made a difference. Shalom Aleichem. You're brave to come to a public gathering. I take off my hat to you. Okay, so we have over here, according to the Gra, the Gra would wear gloves. In order that there should, because he wanted to be able to immediately say and to learn, okay, we cannot do that. So therefore, the Goinim recognized that people should not be saying Elokai Neshama when they wake up in the morning.
You know the Zulim?
What's the Zulim?
Says
okay, but you have to first wash your hands.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so what did the Goinim do? The Goinim said, listen, when you wake up in the morning, do not say Elokai Nisham, because your hands are likely dirty, and it's not proper to make a bracha. So what are you going to do? You're going to wake up, you're going to do nothing. So they extracted the essential chelik of the bracha Elokai Neshama, the part of the Elokai Neshama that does not have Hashem's name. Moideh Ani lefanecha, and they added new words. Melech chay v'kayam shechazarta bi nishmasi b'chemla rabba emunasecha. It was the Goinim who invented this expression called moida ani, which was essentially extracted from the Elokai Neshama to be said by a person when he wakes up in the morning, and you do not need to wash your hands to say moida ani. Okay. This is what the Goinim did. Now, the way of Ashkenazi says, this is an incredible Chiddush, the Goinim felt that by not allowing a person to say Elokai Neshama when he wakes up in the morning and to immediately focus upon Hashem, say Hashem's name, there is damage being done to Klal Yisrael. If the Tanoim instituted that you say a bracha, Elokai Nishamosh Nasatabi, and to elaborate and to conclude, Baruch Ato Hashem, Hamachazir Nishamois Lifkari Mesim, and for them to come along and deny a person from making this bracha immediately when he wakes up in the morning, you're damaging, this is a danger to Klal Yisrael. Okay, like, you know, people say they're shutting all the shuls, they're shutting down.
So, what would have been such a big deal to stop, make Al-Nil
delay in life? It's
cool. How long does it take? Al-Nil Zidai?
Well,
2 minutes?
Look, for today people have a dagel vasa by the beds.
Right, so now it takes less than a minute.
It's not the same. We all know it's not the same. I personally, I'm very makeup, but many people are very makeup. They hold the whole, they take their time. You know, you wake up, you don't have dagel vasa by your bed. The whole bias. Many are lean and hold the entire bias has a din of dalid amos. You're not supposed to walk dalid amos without washing your hands. So the yeshiva bachrim, you know, in camp, in the dormitories, they have a negel vasa thing by their beds. You wash their hands. But when you get a little bit old, you know, it doesn't always work like that. So what do you do? People are very makel. You go to the bathroom. Oh, but the bathroom is 20 feet away. No, the whole bias has one din of a virtual dalid amos. Okay, that's a very popular psak halach. It's one big dalad amos. So the problem though is delay. Chazal felt that a delay in making a bracha is not a very good thing for Klal Yisrael. Therefore, to compensate, the Goinim who did this instituted a new bracha as a way of compensation for the damage they've done by not allowing us to say Elokai Neshama immediately upon awaking, as it says explicitly in the Gemara.
But now, they put on tefillin before they came to shul.
Not necessarily.
But they did.
That's a different issue. That's a different issue.
So
that's,
if you put on tefillin before Union, you already said Nitilasibah.
That's right. Fine. But the point is, you're not saying when a person wakes up in the morning, it used to be, according to the Gemara is explicit. Daf Yomi, only a few days, only a week ago. When you wake up in the morning, the moment you open up your eyes, you say, Elokai, my God, Nishamash, Nasatabi, Tahori, you say this bracha.
Baruch Atah Hashem. We had no thing about Hashem also. Yotzar, Bora, we said the whole thing that was getting up?
No. Asher Yotzar, you said the entire day. You say the entire day. The Gemara says, it's clear as day, the Gemara says, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing that's supposed to come out of your mouth is Elokai. Nishamosh nasatabi, baruch atah Hashem achazir nishamosh lefkar meisim. This is what it says in the Gemara Masech de Brachos. Mishayohir einav, when you open up your eyes, this is the modan, a bracha. Not to say something, moida'ani lefanecha melechai v'kem shechazar tabi nishmas lebechem l'rabba munasecha. Therefore, now, so what did they do? They said, no, you can't say, I'm sorry, you can't say it, because your hands are not clean. So what Rav Ashkenazi says, I don't know where he gets this from, he says, and therefore, because of the guilt, basically, I'm adding words into what he says, but essentially, the guilt of not allowing us to make the bracha of Elokai, Neshama, immediately, this guilt, they compensated by creating a new bracha, something that is unprecedented in a whole Shulchan Aruch. Because every single thing in Shulchan Aruch is traced back to the Tanoim, to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, to make a new bracha that does not appear anywhere in Shas, but was instituted only 1,000 years ago, is off the charts. It's less than 1,000 years ago. And that is the bracha HaNoisein, La Yo'ef Koyach. You give to the weak strength. It was their invention to make this bracha as a compensation for not being able to recite Elokai Neshama when you wake up in the morning. Isn't that an amazing concept? It's an amazing insight to say such a thing. Now, you have to think a little bit deeper. What is the words of you give to the weak Koyach? Why indeed is it that we are unable today to say Elokai Neshama when we wake up in the morning? It's because Niskadnu Hadoros, because we are weak. We are weak-minded. When we go to sleep, we don't sleep like the way we're supposed to sleep. We sleep, we don't sleep with discipline. We are not holding where we are supposed to be holding. I'll give you a little example, a little story. There was the article published about 2 months ago, a book of Chaim Siegel. The life of Rav Chaim Siegel. He was my menahel in Chaim Berlin. He was a principal. He was a very, very clever, very smart man. One story that I really enjoyed very, very much is that, you know, this is going back in a different generation, where boys, they would go to a baseball game. They would go to games, they would go to baseball, football, wherever they went to the games. And he did not approve. And it was against the rules of the yeshiva. If you go to a game, you get caught going to the game, you're going to be suspended. So it turns out, of course, the boys broke the rules, they went to the game and he caught them, whatever. In this whole conversation, the boys, they told him, you know, this is a gzera she'ein roiv hatzibur yecholim lamed ba. We got to go to the game. Can we go? Why should we wait until tomorrow, until you'll catch us and you'll suspend us? Let us ask you permission now and let us go. So he said, okay, you can go, but one condition, a few conditions. Would you cheer when Yogi Berra, when they hit a home run, when you cheer, make sure you cheer like a yid. Don't cheer like a guy. Okay, some reason that story resonates with me. Okay, when you cheer, cheer like a yid, not like a guy. 2,000 years ago, when they went to sleep like a yid. When you go to sleep like a yid, when you wake up in the morning, you can say Elokai Neshama Shnasatavi Tarihi. What did you do in that? What did you do the last 7 hours? The last 7 hours when you were sleeping, your hands are at your side, you were thinking and learning, you were reviewing. I don't know, don't ask me. No longer when we go to sleep today,
do we do that?
Unfortunately, we sleep like a guy. I mean, I'm not Chas Shalom, right. But we don't sleep. So Mamela, why? Because we're weak. We're lacking strength. We're lacking koyach. So Chazal, so the Anshek, so the Ge'oinim, 1,000 years ago says, we're weak. And because we are weak, we cannot allow the average person to say Elokai Neshama when he wakes up in the morning. We have to delay it. And to show our frustration, what we have done, we have to pray to Hashem, Hanoisein Layoiv Koyach, to give us once again strength to be resurrected. Okay, so that's that. Okay, that's one shot. Now another, and you know, I don't know if I told you, is that Goinim. This is a very elaborate idea, but okay, let's just go through very quickly. There is a tkufa in history called the Nevi'im, and then there was a tkufa called the Chachomim. What do we mean by that? Until Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi, we had in Klal Yisrael prophets. What is the advantage of having a prophet? If you want to know why everyone is going with sugar today,
you ask, you get an answer.
The whole world is mamish shutting down. You know what's going to be? You go to a Navi, and you say, Navi, what in the world is going? Why is this happening?
What does this mean?
What does this mean? What should we do? The Navi says, I have a red phone in the kitchen. I have a red phone here somewhere. He picks up the red phone. He has a communication with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Hashem tells them, you know why this is happening? This is the reason. This is the reason why you suffer. And this is what you need to do. And you do it. And it's over. Done. We're all finished. Move on. That is the advantage of having a Navi. You don't grope in the darkness. Person is as a child in Shidduch, I can't find the Shidduch. So you go to the Navi, and the Navi says, this is the Shidduch. You have a Parnassa problem. This is what you need to do to get a job. You have the, why did this person die? What did he do? This is what he did. That's why he died. You don't do that, so you won't die. You have a question? I'll tell you why it happened. That is the advantage of having a prophet. We don't have prophets today. But guess what Chazal say? Chacham odif minavi. A chacham is even better than a navi. Even better. So after the Bayis, when the Bayis Sheni was built, 40 years. How long was the Bayis, did it exist, the Bayis Sheni? 420 years. 40 years into the Bayis Sheni, the last navi died. Malachi died. The day Malachi died was the day when Alexander the Great arrived in Yerushalayim and Shimon HaTzadik came out to greet him, to prevent him from destroying Yerushalayim. It was the same, I don't know, same day, but the same era. The last Navi died. With the end of the last Navi began the Tekufa of the Chachomim. Now who are the Chachomim? This is the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Of the Bayis, it was 40 years into the Bayis Sheni, there was a body of Talmidei Chachamim called the Anshei Knesses Hagedolim. 120 members of this body, this authority. And when someone died, he was replaced. And there was always 120. And then as it got closer to the end of the Bayis Sheni, when someone died, they did not necessarily replace him. And then it went down to 119. 100, whatever, it went down and down. And there was eventually a small group. And then the Anshei Knesses HaGedolah, they ceased to exist. There was the Churban Bayis Sheni. And they went, there was the Golos Bavel, but there were Tanoim. And the Tanoim were the greatest Chachamim. And that is why in Shas, we open any Daf Gemara, you don't even notice the Gemara and the Divrei Agada are always telling you why things are happening. This guy, you know why he died? Because he spoke Lashon Hara about a certain Rav. You know why this guy suffered? If you notice, the Gemara always giving you reasons, telling you why. You know why this happened? Because he did this Aveira, you did this good deed, that's why you're being rewarded. The Gemara almost has an obsession of telling you why. And that's a very dangerous thing for us today, because you learn too much Gemara, you begin, oh, I also know why. Once the Tanoim, they know why, the Amoraim know why, so I also know why. So you have the Tanoim and the Amoraim, and then after the Amoraim came the Rabbanan Savaroi. The Rabbanan Savaroi edited the Talmud. They edited it. They did a lot of work, and they added things. And then came the Tekufa of the Geoinim. The Geoinim did not, they also did edits to the Talmud Bavli, but their main goal was to preserve the authentic understanding, interpretation of the Talmud. The Talmud, you know, you can take a piece of Gemara and you can learn a Kurum of Pshat. It's, you read the words of the Gemara, so you know we have Rashi, Tosfos, Rabbi Chanan, you have all the, and then there's my Pshat. I also tell you, my Pshat is Kurum. It's total nonsense. The Geoinim preserved the authenticity of the Talmud. When the Geoinim, they were the last of what we call the Chachamim, of the wise men. And the Geoinim, Shalom, had the ability, they preserved the authenticity of the Talmud. It was the last era of Chachamim. So we had the Nevi'im, which took us all the way until Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Malachi died 40 years into the Bayis Shem. And after Malachi, we entered into the Tekufa of the Chachamim with the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, which spanned.
Shimon
HaTzadik, right? He was the first one. Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. He went out to greet Alexander the Great. He lived exactly the same time as the death of Malachi. And we have the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, which led into the Tanoim, and then the Amoroim, and the Rabbanan Savaroi, and then the Geoinim was the last leg of this Tekufa that preserved form. They composed, they wrote down, edited, and preserved the correct understanding of the Talmud Bavli. The last of the Geoinim to die, to live, was Rav Haigon, who died in the year 1038, not in the secular year 1038. Rav Haigon died. So that is the end of the Tekufa of the Chacham.
Is it Vilna Gaon also in that thing?
The Vilna Gaon is modern times.
No, he was 200.
No.
Didn't the Rebbe call you a guy?
That is just a title they give. They give you a very
title. Title you get when you get called up for a bracha, but under the
chuppah.
It's a joke. Rav Rudiman. So talking about Rav Rudiman was by chassid. Rav Rudiman from Neri Yisrael. Rav Rudiman, Rav Shimon, Rav Neri Yisrael is by chassid. They called him only. There was a chassid. The chubid. Chorav Agoyin. So and so. Chorav Agoyin. Rav Rudiman was sitting there and he says, "I thought that the kuf of the Geoinim was long over."
Long ago.
1038
is the last.
Of
Haigon.
So Rashi was around. Rashi was later. Rashi was
1600.
Was Kimat born. Rashi was born. Was born approximately that year. Rashi in 1096. Rashi was 65 years old.
He died in 1105.
Right. So Rashi was basically born then. He was born in that era, right?
That's the whole bubble basically ended. The
bubble didn't end. But that was the end of the Tekuf the Goyin. It was the bubble.
And moved on.
The
Europe used to write letters to
them. Yeah.
After that, it moved on.
Okay,
the
Goyinim, their tafel is a very complex. But the point is, the Goyinim, this Tekuf, we have the advantage of having a Navi, as we explained, is you have inside information. You can look at this, there can be an event in the world, and you, why? Why did this happen? Why? You go to the Navi. The Navi will tell you why. The Nevi'im came to an end. No problem. Chacham Adif Mi Navi. A Talmud Chacham, through the Koyach of Torah, has the ability to accomplish the same thing, even better than what the Navi can tell you. Chacham Adif Mi Navi. Through the Koyach of Torah, a Navi, there's a world event. Why is this happening to us? You go to the Talmidei Chachamim, they will tell you. And that is why Shas is filled, heaping with stories and halacha with the Chacham. They tell you why.
But the Navi couldn't say anything unless Hashem told him.
In a Chanan. And so a Chacham is in Beir. A Chacham Adif Minavi. Chacham Adif Minavi. In a Chayeluchot Vayeluchot. With the end of the Goyim, guess what? It's over. You now come into the Tkufa of today, basically. The Rishonim. The Rishonim with the Goyim, with the Rashi, the Balei Tosfos. Never, ever, ever do you find Rashi telling you why a tragedy happened in this world. Okay, the Crusades. Rashi lived through the first Crusade. Right. It was Rashi's Beis Din that composed the Av HaRachamim. When you say on Shabbos, Av HaRachamim, do you know who put a stamp of approval on that Av HaRachamim? Rashi himself. It was Rashi. Rashi did not necessarily write it. It was Rashi's Beis Din that composed the Av HaRachamim. Rashi was prolific. It's not just what he wrote on Shas, and Chumash, and the Tanakh. Rashi wrote Shuvas. Rashi, we have Swam Rashi. Rashi, nowhere in any one of his writings tells you why the First Crusade happened. Why, we don't even know. Let's say 30,000 people could have died in the First Crusade. We don't even know exactly the numbers. Between 10 and 30,000 of the greatest people, Talmidei Chachamim, who ever lived, were killed, were murdered in the First Crusade. And Rashi nowhere tells you why they died. Today we have a lot of people that tell you why the Holocaust happened. I don't know how they know, but they have no problem telling you, I know why there was a Holocaust. I don't know. Rashi lived through a very horrific time, and Rashi doesn't ever suggest why the First Crusade happened. Now, if we had a Navi, the Navi would tell us why. If we had Chachamim, because all of the Shas, they tell us, why was this city destroyed? Because they did this Avera. Why were they destroyed? This Avera. Why was this one rewarded? Because this... The Gemara is not shy. The Gemara is not one bit shy to tell you why things happened. Not at all. Because these were Chachamim. These were the real deal. That came to an end in the year 1036. Over. Now, we entered into a Tekufa of what we live in today, pretty much, of the Anoichi Haster Aster Panai
Bayamah. We're Achroinim now, right? The last generation was Achroinim. Rishonim.
Our Achroinim. Achroinim.
Achroinim. Rishonim.
Rishonim.
Rashi was a Rishon.
Early Rishonim. Each Tekufa can be divided. Each Tekufa can be divided down into many different Tekufas. The Rishonim. Yes, there are the early Rishonim, there are the middle Rishonim, the later Rishonim. Many like to say that that Barbanel, 1492, sure. It's already the end of the 15th century, he was like they consider him to be like the last Rishon. Now, that's a very long time from 1048. Okay, Rashi was not necessarily the first Rishon. Rashi and the Tekufas overlap. You know, the Rav Haigon died in the year 1038. were there people who already, that we, you know, everything's in hindsight.
The Ran was there?
The Mordechai, no, the Ran is later. The Ran is later.
Rabbeinu Gershom was
there. Rabbeinu Gershom was from the very early, Rabbeinu Gershom, the Mordechai.
Rabbeinu Gershom was like 950.
Right.
And he wasn't
before Rashi. I think a little later the Baruch was.
Rabbeinu Gershom was before Rashi.
There's overlap. There is overlap. There's no question about it. There are people that, in hindsight, we look at as being a Rishon, even though Rav Haigon is still alive until the year 10. And that's a separate point. The point is that once you leave the Tekuf of the Chachamim, you come into a new world. You come into a world where, of Hesterponim, we don't know why. There are no answers to questions. And that is very frustrating, it's very difficult, and it's a very great challenge to life, to live and not have an opportunity to have an answer. You know, we feel like we're entitled to answers. You go back. You can't do that. You cannot say anything.
You could observe.
Stop, no.
See, that the Jews and the
people,
Sardis countries were not touched by the Germans.
Yes, they were.
They were. Greece.
No,
like the facts.
You're going on very
right. The only Sardis
was what?
We're coming, we're in a tekufa of where there are no answers. We're in a tekufa where there are no answers, and the Goinim sensed this, they saw. We're coming to an end. And you have a very, very difficult future in front of you. And therefore, the Goinim instituted a bracha for the future generations. And the bracha the only bracha that we have from the Goinim, the only bracha that's not part of the Chachamim, this is a bracha, the end of the Chachamim, Hanoisein Layoev Koyach. When you don't have an answer to your question, when you don't have leadership, you're in a lot of trouble. And you have to thank, and if you can survive one day in this matzav, or it's very interesting, is it a prayer? Is it a thank you? I mean, what's the matzav? You give to those who are weak strength. It almost sounds like we're praying to you, Hashem, please give us strength. So who's the one that felt the need that we need this bracha? The Goinim. Not the Tanoim. Not the Amoroim. Not the Rabbanan Savaroi. It was the Goinim. Because the Tanoim said, you'll be okay, you don't need Koyach, you have Koyach, you have us. And if next generation, you have the Amoroim. Amoroim, you got us, and the next generation, you're in good hands, the Rabbanan Savaroi. And the next generation, the Goinim, you're in good hands. But the Rabbanan Savaroi saw what's coming next. Coming to a tekufa where you're talking a lot of trouble. And thus they instituted the bracha Hanoisein Layoev Koyach. It's an amazing bracha because it doesn't say it in the Gemara. Everywhere, all of the Mefarshim on the Siddur, where did this bracha come from? Excuse me. Go through Shas. Every single bracha in in the entire city, in the Siddur, can be found in Shas. Every bracha. The only one bracha you cannot find in Shas.
Is it because they saw spiritual weakness?
Yes.
Not physical.
Obviously, they saw the next generation is not going to be able to. They will Messiah in the Talmud Bavli. Okay. I know we like to say that the Talmud Bavli was concluded in the year 500 by Ravina and Rav Ashi. Yes, it's pretty much true, but it still was a work in progress until the year 1038. The main role of the Goyim was not necessarily to edit the text, but it was orally to preserve the correct interpretation of the text of the Talmud Bavli. The last ones really to edit the text was the Rabbanan Savaroi. Ravina Rav Ashi is a big machlokes. What exactly Ravina Rav Ashi did? Did they actually put down the words, or did they basically create a formula and they presented the havayos, the basic discussions? But it's an incredible yisoy that this bracha, when you read the bracha, you're putting yourself into. It has a whole new meaning when you say the bracha and you reflect. Oh wait, who made this bracha? This bracha was composed 1,000 years after every single other bracha we have in the Nusach HaTfilah. And why was it? Because they saw on their deathbed that you guys are in a lot of trouble. You have no one to lead you, no one to guide you. You're groping in the darkness. And you can have a lot of trouble. And therefore, you need a little chizuk. And the only thing we can do, let us give you another bracha, another straw to hold on to, Hanoisein Layoev Koyach. Okay, let me just say one last var before we're out of time. Okay, I'll tell you a var about from the Levush. The Levush says that we make the bracha, me makes the bracha, Shaloi Asani Isha. Okay, just a quick var, Shaloi Asani Isha. So Noshim then make a bracha she'asani kiritzayna. So we all like to believe very much that this is an insult to a woman. A woman goes to sif. That's the way the average woman looks at it. That's okay. Halavai. Many women, they have to be makaba. Listen, I have my role in life. A man says, Shaloyo sani isha. Woo! What a statement. So a woman says, no, shosani kiritsana. So this is the Levush. But the Levush was one of the three people that was a candidate to write the Shulchan Aruch. There's a whole discussion about in Shemayim, there were three people in that era that were eligible to write a Shulchan Aruch. Rav Yosef Kairon, the Levush, I forgot the third person, I don't remember now. The third person. The Levush was one of the three people. And he did write a Shulchan Aruch, but it wasn't what we accepted as to be, you know, the code for all Jewish law. So he says he got it mamish all wrong. It's mamish pumfak, it's levush. If someone today would say this, they would say it's like Hasid Shavart to Mephias Noshim. He says something that's pilei ploy, it's mamish pumfak. He says, when Hashem made man, what did Hashem say? Nase Adam. Nase. Why? To teach man humility. But by saying Nase Adam, he opened up the possibility that a person, that for a man to say, oh, there's more than one rishus. I'll be cursing to say there's two rishus. Because Hashem says, Nase. Hashem said it's kedai to be meichel on my covet, to allow man to deny me in order to teach man humility. When Hashem came to create an isha, what did Hashem say? E'es Eloi, Ezer Kenegad. I alone will make a woman. Hashem did not say to the Malachim, Nase Isha. E'ese, I alone. So when it comes to an Isha, she has the Maila, She'osani, a woman says, Kiritzonoi. Hashem said, E'ese. We cannot say, She'osani Kiritzonoi, because Hashem said, Nase. Hashem said to the Malachim, let us together. Because Hashem wanted to humble us. So we can't say Kirit Soyna. It wasn't only Kirit Soyna. Hashem allowed the Malachim to enter into the picture. So the best that we can say is, woman, don't get so proud of yourself. We say, Shaloi Osani Isha.
But the unbelievable. Term Osani means maybe a deeper meaning, but you're not saying a sheker. If a man would say it accidentally, Shasani Kiritsainai, you're not saying a sheker, because you're saying, Hashem made me my will. He wanted me to be a man, and lo and behold, I'm a man. It's the spirit of the word. It's not just the concept. It's not like you're saying an open, outright line, saying, you know, something else.
Pushed up Shashu's on the issue that you did not exempt me from the mitzvahs. Like the issue has
there are many perushim. There are many, many perushim. There are 100 perushim. I just want to focus on the levush.
The question